Thank you all for coming. I want to just give a special welcome to some of my students, present and future, who are here, and just a very special welcome to my mother. I want to thank my brother-in-law Yitzi for being able to bring her, and one of the reasons why I agreed or accepted with tremendous happiness to say the shir here this morning is because I love to be able to say shirim when my parents are present. Mommy, thank you very much for coming. Okay, the topic that we are discussing today is called B'chukoseihem lo seileichu, but we decided to call it the Gra Thanksgiving and Pentecost, something to that effect. The basic issue that we're dealing with is the fact that the Torah says, and you can see this in the first source that we give you, it's a pasuk in Parashas Achrei Mos. The Torah says, "K'masei eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo lo sasu, u'k'masei eretz Kena'an asher ani mevi yaschem shama lo sasu, u'b'chukoseihem lo seileichu." The Torah says that you should not do the actions that the Egyptians do. You should not do those actions which the Kena'anim do. And b'chukoseihem lo seileichu. You should also not follow in their laws, in their paths. You should be different than the Mitzrim and the Knanim. That's what the Torah says. Now, this issue, b'chukoseihem lo seileichu, actually led to some of the great controversies in Jewish history, mostly in the modern times. Let me give you a few examples, and we'll get a sense of what we're discussing. The beginning of the Reform Movement, there was a fellow, Israel Jacobson, and he had a temple in Sassin, in Germany. And the temple introduced playing an organ. And playing the organ was done with non-Jews. They did not have Jews playing the organ. It was done on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom. You know, for a Reformed Jew, a Kodesh Kadoshim, a holy Jew, to play the organ on Shabbos, that would never happen. The Goyim playing the organ on Shabbos in the temple in Sassin. And the poskim at the time said, "What are you doing? You can't have an organ to accompany the tefillos. That's the Isser of b'chukoseihem lo seileichu. Where do you get an organ from? You get an organ because in the church they play organs, no? Jews are not known to be musical. So it can't be from us, right? So where does it come from? Obviously, you're imitating the church. B'chukoseihem lo seileichu, the poskim said, therefore it is forbidden. There are other examples of b'chukoseihem lo seileichu. There's a discussion in poskim, for example, about wearing a yarmulke. Right, wearing a yarmulke, it's hard to find a real source in the Gemara for wearing a yarmulke. Perhaps it's midas chasidus, perhaps it's something that the righteous, the supremely religious, you know, the heilige yidden, maybe that's what they do. But wearing a yarmulke, why is it done? So the achronim all quote Taz says, since the non-Jews specifically remove their hats as a sign of respect, so we have to avoid what they do. We have to actually go, I don't know how to say it in English, punkt verkehrt. Right? You have to do the opposite. Because, b'chukoseihem lo seileichu. And the question is this still applicable? Is it still b'chukoseihem lo seileichu? Is b'chukoseihem lo seileichu only at the time when the non-Jews are removing their hats as a sign of religious devotion and respect? My understanding is that today, even when they play the national anthem at football games, I am not making any political statements, okay? But even when they play the national anthem at football games, people no longer remove the hat and stand, right? It used to be, right, much more common that people would, as a sign of respect, remove their hats. And that was because it was a religious type of thing. Today, it's no longer religious. Is removing one's hat usher because of b'chukoseihem lo seileichu? That's a discussion that the Achronim have. Other discussions that came up in this context were, how do you say priest in Yiddish? A galach. Komer is like a Aramaic term. A galach is the way you say priest in Yiddish, no? Why is a priest called a galach? Because the priests would cut their hair, they'd shave it off. Actually, they'd leave a little bit, generally, and they would shave their faces. Priests were clean-shaven. The Rambam writes that Jewish men, have beards. Why? Because, b'chukoseim lo seleichu. If the non-Jewish men shave as a sign of religion, so then we should not shave as a sign of our religion. Don't follow what they do. B'chukoseim lo seleichu. Over time, of course, shaving no longer was associated with religion. Shaving became something that was known as, you know what, this is what Western men do. Right? In the West, people shave. So therefore, I'm not talking about the West Coast of the U.S. In the Western world, people shave. So therefore, maybe it's no longer usur based on b'chukoseim lo seleichu. My guess is if you'd look around the room, you'd see many Orthodox Jewish males with shaved faces, no? And the reason is that we assume it's no longer b'chukoseim lo seleichu, even though at one point in time it was. So these are some of the conversations that the poskim have. And for us specifically, we'll talk about two issues: Thanksgiving and having trees in shul on Shabbat, or on Shavuos, excuse me. Having trees in shul on Shavuos. Now, the Thanksgiving discussion is well known. Rabbi Yair Hoffman actually wrote about it in the Five Towns Jewish Times, so you could get it for free in Gourmet Glot if you want. But the basic idea of Thanksgiving is a question as to whether the holiday is secular or religious, whether Thanksgiving should be included in the prohibition of b'chukoseihem lo seleichu, and the poskim weighed in on this issue. In our world, we generally follow the Pesach of Rav Soloveitchik that it's not a problem whatsoever. I should just add, as a brief historical aside, when I first gave a shiur about this topic years ago, so I was looking into Thanksgiving and the Puritans, 1622, 1623, they have the first Thanksgiving, and everything is wonderful and grand. And the question is, were the Puritans Ovdei Avodah Zarah? That is going to be an interesting dimension to this question. You see, b'chukoseim lo seleichu is probably that I should not follow the actions of those who are idol worshippers. I was speaking to Rabbi Bleich, who's one of our Rashi Yeshiva NYU, who happens to be a Jew who knows everything. And Rabbi Bleich says something like, I don't understand the question. Everyone knows that Puritans were Unitarians. Did that one on anyone until now? Unitarian Christianity means that you don't believe in the Trinity. The whole discussion, I'm saying Shirin Avodah Zarah now, the whole discussion as to whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah is predicated on the fact that there is a triune God, there are three parts. If you're a Unitarian Christian, it's entirely possible. That's not really Avodah Zarah. That's already a different take on the entire sugya of Thanksgiving than most have, but true to form, Rabbi Bleich likes having different sorts of ideas than others. So now, we'll talk about Thanksgiving briefly. And we'll also talk about the question of Shavuos, having trees and flowers in shul on Shavuos. Although the Rama mentions that that's the practice. The Vilna Gaon, and we'll see this in a few minutes, the Vilna Gaon says, don't do that. B'chukoseim lo seleichu. Because you're imitating a non-Jewish practice, because non-Jews have trees. Jews don't have trees. And we'll discuss that as we go on. So basically, our question is, b'chukoseihem lo seleichu, what is the scope, what are the parameters of this prohibition? I should note that Poskim from Hungary took a much stricter view on b'chukoseihem lo seleichu than Poskim from other parts of the Jewish world. The Hungarians, the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, the Maram Shik in particular, was extremely makbid on Bechukoseim Rosei Lechu. In fact, according to tradition, he's called Maharam Shik, because Shik is Rashi Tevis. Shik stands for Shem Yisrael Kodesh, and the Maram Shik famously writes in the Tshuva that you're not allowed to have a non-Jewish name because of Bechukoseim Rosei Lechu. Okay? Please stay in. Please, don't leave. Right? But the Maram Shik, and following from his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer answered many practices based on Bechukoseim Rosei Lechu. Maram Shik felt that's a problem. As we move on, we'll see that there's very strong grounds, al pi halacha, to question this psak of the Maram Shik. Okay, so let's begin learning.
Why the Hungarians like Bible names, though, of New Testament?
I don't know if I could answer. But let's... So the priests wore black. So is it forbidden to wear black? Maybe to wear a frock and an up hat should be forbidden because of Bechukoseim Rosei Lechu. One can make that case as well. The basic idea is that most poskim feel that these practices are permitted, but we have to learn first to be able to understand why that's true. So let's begin learning. Bechukoseihem lo seilehu, do not follow their laws. Whose laws should you not follow? Read the pasuk. What?
The
Obdei Avodah Zarah. But is that what the pasuk says? Right? The first source that we had, Kimasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Shavtem Boch Lo Sasuch Masei Eretz Kenan. Right? The Torah says, don't do the actions of Mitzrayim and Kenan. Zok the Sefer Yerayim, Rebbe Eliezer Mimitz. The next source that we have on the sheet, the Sefer Yerayim writes that the prohibition is only the actions of the Egyptians and the Canaanites. Nothing else is forbidden. So, if you want to eat French fries because the French people like them, that's not a problem. It's only the Mitzrim and the Canaanim. End of conversation, says the Sefer Yerayim. Now, if you look at it, it's in the end of the first line. Lo sasek maaseim shoshiva umos dichsev parashas elo mishpatim, etc. Don't do the actions of these seven nations. And the next six says lo sasek maaseim, and in achrei mos it says the laws of the Mitzrim, etc. Meaning says the Yireim, afilo enam ovdos elo maaseim v'chukosim shahurgel lasos l'shem torah shalahem hishira torah aleihem. V'chachomim pirshu mahamaasim v'chukim shahurgelu la'asos l'shem Torah shalahem b'shabes perek b'me'isha yotza. Says the Yireim that the Gemara in Shabbos of Samach Zayin, it's the last Gemara in the sixth perek of Shabbos, the Gemara lists those actions which are forbidden based on b'chukoseim losei lechu. The Gemara says you should not walk around with the tooth of a fox. People used to walk around with the tooth of a fox because if you take the tooth of a live fox, you'll live long. If you take the tooth of a dead fox, you'll sleep well. It doesn't say that you'll die early, right? It's a skula to sleep well, the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, oh yeah, you know what? Reb Meir felt it's permitted, and you're even allowed to carry it on Shabbos. It's considered something that certainly works, but the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to carry this tooth of the fox ever. And if a person has certain ailments, so the Gemara speaks about various ways to solve these ailments by putting various animals on various parts of your body and everything is amazing, right? And there's some doctors here, they'll probably tell you this doesn't work, but right? But Zok the Gemara, that's Bechukoseim Lo Seilechu. Explains the Yireim, the only things that are usher are those things that are mentioned in the Gemara in Shabbos Samach Zayin. Nothing else is forbidden. The Chachamim said only those things are forbidden. Now, when you think about it, the Yireim is seriously limiting the Isser B'chukoseim Lo Seilechu. The Yireim is saying that For us, none of the issues that we mentioned, not the yarmulke, not Thanksgiving, nothing could be a problem because it's not found in Shabbos, Daf Samach Zayin. At the other extreme of the Yireim, you have the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam tells us, here in Perek Yud Aleph of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam tells us that B'chukoseyam lo seylechu means, let's read this Rambam, Ein holchen b'chukos ha'ovdei kochavim v'lo medamin lohen. You cannot follow the laws of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. For the Rambam, it's not only Mitzrim and Kananim, it's any idolaters, you cannot follow their paths, and you should not be similar to them. Lo b'malbush v'lo b'seyar ukiyotzei bahen. You should dress the way they dress. You shouldn't have hair that's similar to their hair. Shenemar v'loseyachu b'chukos hagoy v'nemar u'b'chukoseyam lo seylechu v'nemar hishamalocha pentinokish acharehem hakol b'inyan echad humazir shelo yidam elohen. Zuck the Rambam. The idea is that one should not be similar to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ela yia Yisrael muvdal mehem V'yadua b'malbusho u'b'sh'ar ma'asav k'moshu muvdal mehem b'mada'o b'de'osav v'chein hu omer v'avdil eschem min ha'amim. Zuck the Rambam that b'chukoseyim lo seylechu is not just a negative prohibition not to follow the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but imposes on us a requirement that we should be different. We should be different from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the way we dress, in the type of hair that we have. Zuck the Rambam, just like we are different in our modes of thought. K'moshu muvdal mehen b'mada'o b'de'osav. That's a phenomenal Rambam, no? For the Rambam, it's assumed that a Jew has a different mode of thought than non-Jews. I was thinking about this recently. Even those communities, let's say Satmar, they adopt the Rambam's position. No one in the Western world wears these white socks and the little knicker-type pants and walks around that way like with a strimo when it's 138 degrees in the shade. That's not what's done. The Satmar are trying to follow the Rambam that Jews should be different. Got it. Right? Legitimate position. It's a Rambam. But are they really different? B'mada'o b'de'osav. Did they really think differently than people in the Western world? That's a very... What categories of thought do we use? For the Rambam, it's axiomatic that we are supposed to have our own modes of thought. Now, I'm not exactly sure what it means. I've been so brought into the Western system, I don't know what it means, but for the Rambam, it's clear that the information that we have and the way we think about things is supposed to be different. I could take one or two brief questions, but we have a lot to cover. Yes?
That thought, I think you do it all the time and just not aware of it. In the Shemona Esrei, every time we say, God heal us, and we will be healed, save us, we will be saved.
Right.
God says, why should I do that? And we say,
I think you answered your own question.
Yeah.
Because you said we might not realize it, or we might not think about it. The Rambam is stressing that we are supposed to have different ways of thinking about stuff than the surrounding nations. That's what the Rambam says. Again, perhaps some people are more frum than I am. I don't deny that. But I don't think most of us live up to what this Rambam says. So again, what we have over here are two extremes.
Maybe the Rambam didn't live up to it either.
Yeah, so the Rambam's use of Aristotle, the Rambam is very careful in terms of what he uses, what he doesn't use. I'm just pointing out that this is a striking line in the Rambam. Very briefly, yeah, we really have to cover a lot.
That if they wanted to
That is true on some level, but it's also that they made deliberate efforts, at least since the rise of Hasidus, look different. And there were big fights in Europe about the type of hat that people would wear, etc., because there was something distinctively Jewish about a particular mode of dress. Again, we have a lot to cover. So what we've done so far, I could take questions at the end. I apologize to all those who I am skipping, but let's go weiter. What we have so far are two extremes. I have the Sefer Yerayim who says that effective hukoseim lo seilechu is not applicable for us, because it means don't be a Canaanite, or, right, there used to be a song when I was a kid, walk like an Egyptian, or don't walk like an Egyptian, right? That's basically what the Yerayim says. Okay, not so applicable. The Rambam goes much further, right? The Rambam says, you know what, not only should you not do what they do, but you have to deliberately try to be different. And for the Rambam, I don't know, right? I don't know if our communities are living up to the Rambam, certainly. I don't know, but the Rambam is the other extreme. The middle positions regarding the Chukoseim Lo Seilechu are the positions of the Baalei HaTosfos, the positions of the Ran and the Maharik. And just to streamline the process, because it's taking a little bit longer than I thought. But just to streamline the process briefly, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin has a comment that mitzvah haneherogen hayu matizin es rosho b'sayif kederach shahamalchus osa. The Mishnah says that there are arba misos bezdin, there are four methods of killing people that bezdin would employ, and they would chop off the sword, they chop off your head with a sword like the Malchus, like the government does. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Nivol Hulo, Elo Meinichan Esosha Asadan VeKotzeitz BeKupitz. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's disgusting, it's barbaric to chop off a head with a sword. Rather, you have to do it in a more civilized way, which is you use a hatchet, because we all know that hatchets are much more civilized than swords. So the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Yehuda, Amrulo Ein Misa Menuvelas Mizu, that if you use a hatchet, that's even more disgusting than a sword. So the Gemara comments, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda l'Chachamim, Af ani yodea shemisa menuvelasi, Ava ma e'ese, Sherei Amar Torah p'chukoseihem lo seileichu. Says Rabbi Yehuda, yeah, I know it's disgusting to use a hatchet, but what can I do? You can't use a sword. The Torah says, p'chukoseihem lo seileichu. Don't follow the Moors, the actions of the non-Jews. The Rabbanan say no. Kevin d'chsev sayif by raisa lav minayu kagam ridon. The Chachamim disagree and they say no. We're not deriving it. We're not learning it from the Goyim. Rather, the Torah says sword, right? The Torah in the context of Ir HaNidachas and elsewhere, the Torah says that you kill someone with a sword. Therefore, we're not deriving it from them. It's our own. That's the Gemara. So what this Gemara in Sanhedrin is saying is that something that's written in the Torah is going to be permitted because we're not deriving it from them. And the Gemara then continues with a discussion of Sarfin Ahamalachim. The practice was that when a king would die, they would burn all of the king's materials. The Gemara says that Emishdamshim B'Sharvito Shomelech, you're not supposed to use a king's scepter. Right, this actually comes up in Navi in a few places where the Navi speaks about Masreifos, Avosecha Hamlochim, that you'll be burned among all the kings. This was a practice that was done. And we Jews do it also. How come we Jews also burn the materials of the king when the king dies? Isn't that B'chukoseyem lo seilechu? Isn't that something that the non-Jews do? Zuck the Gemara. Oh, it's okay, because it's a pasuk. And anything that's found in the Pasuk is okay. And that's the reason for burning the king's stuff, and that's the reason why it's okay to use a sword. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, however, in the parallel sugya, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah gives a different reason why we're allowed to burn the materials when the king dies. At the top of page 2, I give you a source in the Gemara from Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. The Marimokum, the source is on the bottom of page 1, but the actual source is top of page 2. The Gemara says that Sreifa Lav Chukahi. Zuck the Gemara, take on the second line from the top. Sreifa Lav Chukahi means that when the non-Jews burn the king's stuff, it's not a sign of religion. It's not a religious act. Rather, Sreifa is something that is done simply as honor for the king. No one can be as great as our previous king. We will burn all of his stuff because no one can stand in his shoes. He is better than anyone else. It's a sign of respect. It's not a sign. It's not ritual. It's not an act of worship by any means. So the Bali HaTaisus ask a question. And the Bali HaTaisus ask, they say, what's going on here? What's going on here? What's the reason why it's permitted to burn the king's stuff when he dies? The Gemara in Sanhedrin said it's permitted because Shteit and Pasuk, the Torah says it's permitted. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah doesn't say because there's a Pasuk, Masreifos Avosecha Hamlochem, it's not because there's a Pasuk. Rather, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says it's permitted because Lav Chukahi. It's not worship. It's just a sign of respect. So the Bali HaTosfos are bothered by the question, what's the reason why you're allowed to burn the king's stuff? And the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, the same Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph as well, Tema, Dimashma Hacha Dafagav Dechukah, Hikim Dechziba Orai Sashari. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that's permitted because the Torah says so. But in the first part of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara asks, is burning the king's stuff, is that an act of worship? And the Gemara concludes, Lav Chukahi, it's not worship. So Tosfos answers, Yisham, the Hosam Kamar Lav Chukahi, Lishem Avodah Zarah, etc. Deva Chukah Avodah Zarah, Yahav Chukah Oraisa, Lohav Mahani, Avahacha Ayri, Bechoka Ovdi Kochovim, Shalom Lishem Avodah Zarah. Tosfos says that there's two types of Chukah. The term Bechukoseim Lo Selechu has two distinct meanings. One meaning is, Tosfos says, an act that stems from Avodah Zarah. Meaning two is a silly, stupid act that they do. They're both forbidden, says Tosfos. However, if you want to say that something is going to be permitted because the Torah says so, that only helps with respect to category two. That only helps with respect to those things which should be forbidden because they're silly. But something that should be forbidden because it's Avodah Zarah, even though the Torah says so, it's still forbidden. In the days of the Avos, there was a Matzeva. In the days of the Avos, they used to offer korbanos on a single stone. But then the Ovdei Avodah Zarah started doing that. So then it became forbidden. That's quoted by Rashi and Chumash. The idea is that Tosfos is commenting that there are two different types of chukosehem lo selechu. There's chukosehem in the sense of things that come from Avodah Zarah, and that's forbidden no matter what. And then there's chukosehem in the sense of silly things that they do. And if it's a silly thing that they do, so then it's permitted if the Torah says so. That's what the Bali HaTosfos say, both in Sanhedrin and in Avodah Zarah. Okay, great. Now the stipler is the brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. The stipler, he lost his hearing at a relatively young age, so his contribution to Torah is through his writings. And he has beautiful essays on Sugyas and Shas. Really beautiful, beautiful essays. So the stipler comments that he doesn't understand the Tosfos. How is Tosfos saying that there are two types of Bechukosehem? And one of them, if it's not Avodah Zarah, will permit it because it's in the Pasuk. If it is Avodah Zarah, then it's forbidden, even though it's in the Pasuk. Where does that come from? If there's one Pasuk, how can you split it in that way? Right? There's one Pasuk, Bechukosehem lo selechu. So how can you say there's one Pasuk and two different dinim? Right? The stapler is clearly not a brisker. Right? Briskers are always into finding two dinim whenever you can. The stapler says, no, there's one Pasuk. What's going on here? So So the stapler has a very creative approach. He says there's really two halachos, and even in Tosis, even though Tosis calls both of them b'chukos sehem, one is b'chukos sehem lo se leichu, the other is lo sasek ma'asehem, two different psukim, beautiful stapler, nice essay. However, it seems that there is an easier approach to answer the stapler's question. And that approach is found in the Me'iri. Now, the Me'iri was a Rishon from Provence, from the French Riviera. The Me'iri wrote a halachic digest, effectively. He quotes all of the shitos that came before him. And the Me'iri basically comments that there are two parts of B'chukol Seyem Lo Se Lechu. There's the Torah law, and then there's the rabbinic law. The Torah law is, don't do Avodah Zarah stuff. Rabbinically, they extended it to include even things that are not Avodah Zarah, so that we should stay away from the non-Jews. Right? It's almost like Torah law is similar to the Yireyim. Rabbinic law is what the Rambam says. Right? Torah law is, avoid the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Avoid Avodah Zarah activities. Again, the Yireyim limits it only to certain types of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but the Me'iri is saying, Torah law, avoid all Avodah Zarah. Rabbinically, Midrabbanan Zok, the Me'iri, we want to keep you far away from them, and therefore, rabbinically, do not do any activity which may lead us to follow the non-Jews. Right? That's what he writes. I bolded it for you. Af apikein hadover mispashet midivrei sofrim baharbei dvarim she'enam mimin zeh kidei sheyisraku mehem ume'eli lehem ve'lo yimshichu achareihem mizu lezu. Zok the Me'iri? Midirabonon hadover mispashet midivreihem. Midirabonon, they extend it to all activities, even not Avodah Zarah activities. Now, the analysis of this Me'iri, I think the Me'iri might be what Tosis is getting at, that the two aspects of Koseyim, one is a Da'iraisa, one is a Da'rabonon, that the Torah law of B'chukoseyim is based on Avodah Zarah. And if it's based on Avodah Zarah, so then, even if it's written in a Pasuk, you can't permit it. But rabbinically, right, if it's something that's not based on Avodah Zarah, so then we'll permit it if it's in a Pasuk. And the reason for that might be based on what Reb David Cohen calls the Taz Hayadua. This is one of my favorite topics in Judaism, so I apologize if I am boring you, but I actually think it's amazing. The Taz says that there is a limit to rabbinic authority. We usually think, we being rabbis, we think that rabbis could do whatever they want. No, you can't. You can't do that, whatever you want. You can't, says the Taz, an example of a limit on rabbinic authority, is rabbis cannot make a din d'rabbanon to go against a beferish pasuk in the Torah. If you have something that God wrote in the Torah, no rabbi can say, don't do that. The Torah says it's permitted. The Torah says, chelev, that non-kosher fat, ye asel l'chom l'cha, you're allowed to sell it. Says the Taz, nobody, no rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his rabbinic capacity, cannot say that it is forbidden to do business with chelev. You can't do that. The Taz holds that rabbinic authority is limited, and rabbis can't make an Isser D'Rabbanon on something that is a Beferish Pasuk. And that's exactly what this Me'iri is saying over here, no? The Me'iri is saying, when I talk about B'chukol Seyem Lo Se Lehu, and I'm referring to the laws, which are extensions, it's not Avodah Zarah, it's an extension, it's a Din D'Rabbanon extension of Avodah Zarah. So then the rabbis say it's forbidden. But the rabbis can't say it's forbidden when there's a Pasuk. When there's a Pasuk, there's a limit on rabbinic authority. The rabbis can't say, right? This is why the Taz writes, for example, that how come we have an Isser that I'm not allowed to take the lulav on Shabbos because I might carry, right? So rabbinic law, you can't take a lulav on Shabbos. Talmud Bavli assumes, can't take a lulav on Shabbos, you might carry. Okay, yet no one said that you can't have a bris milah on Shabbos because you might carry. Why not? A new chumrah. Don't do bris milah on Shabbos. So there are various answers, but the Taz says the rabbis have no authority to say Bris Milah is Aser on Shabbos. The Torah writes Biyom Hashmini Yimo B'Sar Arloso. Milah has to happen on Shabbos. Rabbis can't say it's Aser. End of conversation. Here also, I think the pshat in the Me'iri is, and by the way, the Me'iri in Megillah Daf Dalid says exactly the same shtickle Torah that the Taz said. No, the Taz didn't have Me'iri. People think that the Me'iri is a modern book that was found in the 1940s. It isn't. There was one edition of the Me'iri that was printed in the 16th century, but then it was never reprinted until the 1940s, until Avraham Sofer's edition. But even so, the Taz probably did not have the Me'iri, because there's one edition out there. It wasn't like a well-known Sefer. The Me'iri is saying the exact idea of the Taz. If it's a din derabbanan, so then you cannot. If it's a din derabbanan, the rabbis have no ability to impose a din derabbanan against a pasuk in the Torah. That's what the Me'iri is saying. Now, Shulchan Aruch, just to go quickly. Shulchan Aruch over here at the top of page 1, 2, 3. Right, the top of the next page, in Yerideya Simen Kufay in Chesif Aleph, the Ramah paskins something similar to the Tosfos, but not exactly the same. The Ramah is really paskining like a position of the Ran and the Maharik, which is similar to Tosfos, but not the same. The Ramah says that when we say you can't do activities that the non-Jews do, that's only an activity that the non-Jews do. I underlined it. V'kosa eno asar b'davar shenahagu ba'ovdei kochavim l'shom pritzos. Kigon shenahagu lobosh malbushim edomim. If they... This is like the famous source of not wearing red, no? The famous source of not wearing red. That wearing red is assumed to be pritzos. In our world, by the way, doesn't apply. Red probably for them did not really mean red. Red probably meant any bright color, because it was harder to get the dyes to make bright colored materials. Like Calvin's father famously says in Calvin and Hobbes that in the old days it's not that pictures were in black and white. The entire world was in black and white. Right? And the pictures are very accurate. Calvin's father had the tremendous chidushim. But it's actually not so crazy, because in medieval times, only the really wealthy people could afford bright colors. The average person was wearing drab grays and blacks. That's what they wore. You couldn't have color. So it was considered pritzus to wear a bright color, because you really stood out. Says the Ramah, the only thing that's forbidden based on Chukos Akum is something that the non-Jews do and is considered pritzos. It's malbush sarim, ukedom lezem, abushaya pritzos. Alternatively, something that the non-Jews institute, b'davar shenahagu l'minhagu l'chok, ve'ein tam b'davar. De'ika l'meichosh be mishum darkei ha'amori, v'sheish v'o shemetz avodazorah me'avoseihem. Avodavar shenahagu l'to eles. Says the Ramah, the only thing that's forbidden is if it's pritzos, or there's no purpose. But if the non-Jews do something for a good reason, for example, doctors wear doctor's cloaks. Doctor's cloaks originated in Avodah Zarah, no? All the universities in the medieval times were associated with the church. Doctor's cloaks originate in Avodah Zarah. But says the Ramah, there's a good reason to wear a doctor cloak, because it shows that you attained a certain level of education. So there's a good reason for it. Therefore, the Ramah says, that's okay. That's okay, because there's a good reason. And the Ramah is saying, whatever has a good reason, you're allowed to do. It's only forbidden if it's pritzos, if it's a practice. So not all practices of non-Jews are forbidden. Only if there's pritzos involved, or if there's no reason to do it, and therefore we assume that it comes from Avodah Zarah. But if it has a good reason, and it's not pritzos, then it's okay, according to the Ramah. Now the Vilna Gaon jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels. The Gra says, what are you talking about? The Gra says, slowly. Right? You're saying that whatever has a good reason, by definition, is permitted? A sword.
Is there a good reason to kill with the sword? I apologize if this is gruesome. But there is a good reason to kill with the sword, no? It's a neat cut. It's quicker. Says the Gra, the whole source of Chukos Seyam Lo Seylechu in the Gemara is about killing with the sword, and there's a good reason. So, if something has a reason, that alone cannot permit it. Just because you do things for a reason, it can't be mutter automatically. The Rambam says, whenever there's a good reason for a practice, it's okay. The Gra says, no. Even though there's a good reason, it could still be forbidden, because the Gemara that we saw in Sanhedrin speaks about using a sword as b'chukosei mol seleichu, and there's a good reason to use a sword. That's what the Gra quotes over here in the next source. Now, if I unpackage this, what emerges is as follows. Thanksgiving. Is there a good reason to have a day?
Yes.
Absolutely. No? To show our gratitude, it happens to be, even if people are not happy about what's going on in this country, but historically this is the best place that Jews have found in Gauls. Historically it's a Medina Shel Chesed. It's a place that we have to be tremendously thankful. There's a good reason to establish a day of gratitude. No question. For the Ramah, is it permitted? Absolutely. For the Gra, I don't know. The Gra says, even though there's a good reason, it's usher. By the way, if you look in the Sri Deish, in his tshuva in Chelak Gimel Siman Tzadi Gimel, his long tshuva about Bas Mitzvah, that's where the Sri Deish decides to talk about Chukos Akum, not going there. But the Sri Deish basically says, you know what? We don't follow the Gra. The Gra is a minority opinion. Fine. It seems to me that the same issue with Thanksgiving, a practice that has a reason, the Rambam would say it's permitted because the Rambam follows those poskim. By the way, you can see this in Tosfos also. Tosfos only says a minhag of hevel and shtus is forbidden. That means if it's a stupid practice. Stupid is the opposite of having a good reason. If you have a good reason for the Rambam, it's permitted. For Tosfos, it's permitted. The Gra says, I don't know, it's against the Gemara. Gra's always into going back to the earlier sources. For this reason, the Gra said, you can't have flowers and trees in Shul on Shavuos. Because even though there are many reasons to have it, there are many reasons to have flowers and trees. No, the Maharil says that Shavuos is a yontiv, where we're supposed to have more simcha than other yomim tovim, and you're supposed to have nice-smelling stuff to remind you of Maimed Har Sinai. It should be green and lush to remind you of Maimed Har Sinai. The Magen Avraham writes, Ba'atzeres Nidonim Aperas Ha'ilon were judged on the trees on Shavuot. So it's a beautiful practice. There are good reasons for it. The Gra says, whoa. It's still Aser. Why is it Aser? So some assume because the Gra is basing himself on Christmas trees. But if you look at the original sources that quote the Gra, look at the Chaya Adam, for example. Right, it's towards the bottom of this page. The Chayodim was a mechutna, the Gra. The Chayodim, by the way, was a businessman. He did not have a rabbinic position at the beginning of his career. At the very end of his career, they appointed him a dayan in Vilna. At the beginning of his career, he was a businessman. So the Chayodim writes, Hagra bita minhag milahamid al ilanos batzeres. The Gra said, don't have this minhag of putting trees up on Shavuos. Mishum sha'achshav hu chok ha'amin nahamid ilonos b'chayk shalahem. Because now it is the practice of the nations to put trees up on their holiday, shekorin zalanya shventa o finigshtin. Okay, anyone know what finigshtin is in German? Pentecost. It's not Christmas. It's Pentecost. The Christmas tree was something that was instituted by Martin Luther to replace nativity scenes. That's not what the Gra's talking about. The Gra's talking about that in Lithuania, the Lithuanian churches had a practice of Pentecost where they would decorate the church and the home with a lot of trees. And Zuck the Gra, you know what? You can't put trees up. Pentecost was the same time as Shavuos. You can't put trees up in Shul because that would be a violation of Chukos Akum. Even though we're doing it for a reason. Right? Zecher l'mayim et har Sinai. It's beautiful. The Gra says, if you do it for a reason, it still is usher. My understanding is that most shuls today have greens in shul on Shavuos, no?
Yeah, but not Jews.
But?
Not
In most places don't have trees, and Breuer's in my community, in Washington Heights, they have trees. It's really beautiful. It's Beheholo Kulo Merkavod. It's absolutely beautiful what they have. They put real trees up. But any shul that has flowers, any shul that really, L'Aruch HaShulchan writes, there's no difference in trees and flowers, any shul that decorates the shul, that means you're not accepting the gra. If you're not accepting the gra, that means go enjoy Thanksgiving. Okay. Thank you for listening, and you should have a wonderful day.